Beautiful. Turn in your Bibles to, I was going to say 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We already did that. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans, the book of Romans chapter 1. While you're going there, the Apostle Paul, he had an absolute confidence in the gospel's supremacy over any other religion or philosophy that the world in his day had ever known. In Paul's day, it was filled with Greek philosophy, Roman paganism, and Hebrew law. You know, Hebrew law basically was legalism. They were telling them you had to have this to go with your salvation in Christ. You had to be circumcised. You had to keep the holy days. Roman paganism, just idol worship. They had no hope. Then you had Greek philosophy. I've told you before the definition of Greek philosophy. I'll tell you again. It's take a blind man, put him in a dark room, and tell him to find the black cat that ain't in there. That's about what philosophy is. But all of these, they're all weak, and they're all feeble compared to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? The gospel of Jesus Christ is where the power is. You see, Paul stood his ground in his day. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." You see, he stood in the face of all three of these. And by the way, standing in the face of the Romans was quite dangerous. But he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." You see, we that believe face the same problems that Paul faced in his day. We've got a lot of the same issues, a lot of the same problems that he had. We got pagans in the world. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping the creation. They're worshiping the creatures. Look up what it'll cost you if you find a bald eagle egg and you touch it. It's a year in prison and $10,000 fine, but yet we can kill an innocent baby. And they're pushing to kill an innocent baby after it's born. Matter of fact, we got a few states that already allow that. "Oh, we'll stand there and make it comfortable." Well, bless your heart. You want me to tell you what that is in Southern lingo? That you're an idiot. That's exactly what it is. Listen, they are wicked people. But yet, that's what we face. We face atheists. "Well, what's an atheist? No big deal. They don't believe in nothing." No, but they cause Christians problems every single day. They got a group of them nuts that are in Wisconsin, and all they do is stir trouble. That's all they do. They look to stir trouble. Listen, one of these days, every knee will bow, and they'll confess who Jesus is. They might think they're an atheist, but one of these days, they'll know there's a God. I honestly believe that a lot of them don't have a choice because you see in Romans chapter 1, God tells you in the Bible that people are turned over to a reprobate mind. You know what that is? That means that God has abandoned them. So they really are atheists. They don't know anything about it anymore because God has abandoned them. They have no hope and never will have any hope. But one day, they'll stand before an almighty God. You see, we got those. Then we've got the false religions, the cults. They're the dangerous ones. You know, they give you a little bit of truth. Just a little bit, just enough to suck you in. They're Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventists, Catholics. We could go on and on and on. But they're all out there and they're preaching false lies. They're peddling their poison and they all deny the power of Jesus Christ blatantly. Right up front, they don't hide it. They deny the power of Jesus Christ. They teach works salvation. Listen, praise God, I don't have to worry about, did I do enough today that if I die tonight, I'll get to heaven? Woo, listen, I know I'm going to heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. And guess what? If I die today, I'll wake up in heaven. I hope I see you there. You see, they're clouds without rain is what the Bible tells us. Oh, and then we got these Islam, Buddhists, Hindus, false gods. Listen, they all died, and guess what? They got eaten by worms. But our Lord Jesus Christ come out of the tomb and is alive today on the right hand of the Almighty God in heaven. I serve a living God, not some dead person. I won't even go there. I don't serve that kind of mess, something that can't help me. Powerless. I serve a living God. People say, well, they're so nice. And they are. Some of the nicest people I've met are these people I've been naming off. They do all kind of stuff for you. But listen, thieves, murderers, and pedophiles are nice too. They are. They're some nice people. I worked with a guy that was a murderer. Right out, just planned it, cold-blooded murder, and killed some people in Louisiana. But I worked with him out in the oil fields when he got out of prison. He was the nicest guy you ever want to meet. You know what Jesus said? John 10:10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's all these people are doing. Listen, let me explain to you what they're really doing. Basically, they're making the world a more peaceful place to go to hell from. That's about it. And we get all mad at the pedophiles, and we get all mad at the mass murderers that do all the shootings, but we don't get mad at false religion. You better, because there's a lot of folk going to hell because of them. Amen. Listen, folk, we need to wake up. We need to think about that. Amen. How many of them knock on your door once a year? Do they come around once a year or quite often? No, they come by quite often. We ought to be doing the same thing. We should be telling people we got the truth. They don't. We have the truth. I'll go ahead and warn you. Don't stand there and argue with them. Get your blood pressure up. I got this watch. It tells me what my blood pressure is. Well, it ain't even registered. I'm in trouble. But if you stand there at the door with some of them folk that come in pairs, they will get you so angry. It's not worth it. When they come to my door, I say, listen, I'm trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ a long time ago. I'm going to heaven. Have a good day. And I go on about my business because I'm not going to get riled up and I'm not going to cast my pearls before the swine. All they're going to do is stomp on it, waller it down in the mud. Listen, Paul's confidence, as ours should be, was based on the gospel's sufficiency. And that, folks, is the power of God unto salvation. You say, we don't need a better system of education. Lord, we're educated up to here. We got them educating on evolution. We got them educating on everything except Jesus Christ. We don't need more education. We don't need a more social form. That makes you want to vomit. We don't need any new ways of preaching. Listen, we got new ways of preaching, and they water down the Word of God, and they tell you, oh, you're okay like you are. You come as you are and leave as you were. No, you come as you are, you need to leave a little different. If you don't, you ain't listening to the Word of God. We're not going to take the Word of God and we're not going to change it to fit our way of life and what we think we ought to live, the way we ought to do. They make all these laws that it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. It wasn't and it ain't, not in the Word of God. But they want to change it all. See, we don't need the new ways. We don't need new ideas in religion. We've got to bring in great basketball players, football players, singers, or what. Listen, they need to get saved too. And if they are, amen. But I don't need a church full of people to come see some guy that is some super athlete. They need to be coming to church to hear the Word of God. Because the super athlete ain't going to get them to heaven. What we need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what this world needs. It needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. It needs to see the love of Jesus in us. I've asked Sister Deb to sing a song, so I'm going to have her come up if she would.
Oh, my sin.
Amen. You see, that's what the world needs. The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me that Jesus loves me. But let me ask you, do you know anybody that never reads the Bible? I'd say you do. I guarantee you, I can sit here and name 10 people that never read the Bible. Hey, listen, there's a few of them even go to church. They need to know Jesus loves them, and we need to let them know. You see, the gospel, it takes hold of the mind. Unlike any other book you can find, you can read whatever you want to read, but the Word of God gets a hold of a person's mind. But not only that, it pierces the conscience. It goes in there and it lets you know, hey, you need me. It'll let you know, listen, you're lost and you're going to a devil's hell. A loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. He doesn't. We send ourselves. You know, you're supposed to stop at this stop sign right down here at the end of Cadiz. There ain't nobody down there to force you, though. You can blow right on through it if you want to. You may end up in a ditch. Unless you're a really good driver, then you can hang that right or a left. But listen, it's not forced, but you know it's wrong. You see, when you're under the sound of preaching, when we really realize who the Lord Jesus Christ is, it pierces the conscience. It lets us know, hey, you need me. You see, it warms and comforts the hearts of those who believe. It does. It'll give you a peace. And now you got that hope. I get this phone call yesterday. My daughter-in-law, she said, I'm taking your son to the hospital. And I'm like, uh-oh. Done got bucked off a horse, which is nothing new. He does that frequently. I figure he done broke something. She said, no. She said, a fence post hit him. I said, really? She said, it's not good. I said, okay. So I put it on the prayer chain, pray for Jimmy, because he's going to the hospital. He's got an injury. He busted all of this, I can't even pronounce the word, ZM complex. He broke every bone in there, they say. His eyes swelled shut. When he told me how he did it, I'm going to be honest with you, I was on the phone with him because he was on the way to the hospital. He said, Dad, he said, I'm stupid. I said, well, you came for me. I don't know what to tell you. He says, I was cutting on this fence post. And I got it almost through and I got impatient. And he said, so I picked it up and slammed it on the ground. He said, and that's the last thing I remember. He said, until I woke up and that piece flew back and hit him. You know, it about that far from hitting the wrong spot and killing him. About that far from taking out his eyeball. But you know what? I had a peace and a comfort because I don't want to lose my son. But guess what? If he dies, I know where he's going. I'll see him again one day. I have that comfort and that peace that warms my heart because I know that Jesus will take care of him. You see, lost people don't have that. They don't have that. They have no idea what that is. You see, the gospel saves the soul from entering into an eternity separated from God. It sanctifies the life. You see, it'll turn drunks around, make them sober. It'll drag drug addicts out of the slime pits of wherever they're at and clean them up. Hey, I'm here. For 10 years, I had drug problems. For 10 years, I had alcohol problems, wife getting fed up with it. But you know what? Listen, the Lord Jesus will change all that. Yeah. There's some others in here I know, because I know their testimony, that had all sorts of problems in the same area. But you know what? Because of Jesus, they don't have those problems. You see, it changes everything in our life. It'll change the vilest person into a child of God. It transforms all those lives that believe. You know, Paul also, he had confidence. And we should have that same confidence in the simplicity of the gospel. I heard a guy one time explain on a talk radio, Christian talk radio, on how to get saved. When he was done, listen, there ain't no way you could tell somebody all that and expect them to get saved. It's simple. It's not a big issue. You see, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You see, no amount of work can save you from a lost eternity. No amount of money can save you. A preacher can't save you. Just because you go to a church and you might have got baptized one day, that didn't save you. Water don't do nothing for you. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you're saved by getting baptized. Because the thief on the cross, they didn't take him down. He died, and Jesus said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Amen. They didn't haul him off the cross and run, dump him in the water. Nah, it ain't nothing to do with that. It's all about if you believe in the finished work of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. The Philippian jailer said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You know what Paul told him? Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." You can't get any simpler than that. It don't come any more simpler than that. It ain't "believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved" if you get baptized, if you partake of the Lord's Supper, if you put enough money in the offering plate. There is no if with it. It's all about Jesus. It's nothing to do with what we can do. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. You see, a person might tell me, "Well, I didn't know I was lost." And maybe you don't. We'll go over that in a minute. You know, we're getting into an entire generation that doesn't know who God is. Doesn't have a clue who Jesus is, because if you mention Jesus, you can get in trouble. You see, Jesus narrows it down to the one way. The world likes to tell you, "Oh, it's God, and this is God, and this is God, and this is God." Allah ain't God. None of the Hindu mess ain't God. Buddha ain't God. Buddha was an overweight guy that told everybody, "Have self-control." Hello. Did you? I ain't going to ask him about self-control. Listen, God is the Almighty God. He's the only God. And bless their hearts, Jesus Christ is God. Oh, how can that be? I had a JW kid one day ask me. Those of you who don't know what JW is, that's Jehovah's Witness. They were in the neighborhood, and me and my wife were out walking, and he come up to me, nicest kid. He really was. And I was talking to him, and he said, "Well," and I explained to him, I'm Baptist." I said, "But more so, I'm a Biblicist." I said, "Denomination ain't got nothing to do with it." I said, "It's about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "Well, I just don't get it. This Jesus, he prays to God. If he's God, how was he praying to himself?" I said, "How did he create the world?" "Well, he's God." I said, "Well, think about that." I said, "If he can create the world, just speak it into existence." I said, "Couldn't he incarnate himself into a human flesh, but yet still be in heaven? Well, I never thought of that. You know what? It's real simple to get saved. You see, Romans 10, chapter 3, verse 10 tells us, all have sinned. In other words, everybody in this building, including me, has sinned. Including, bless his heart, the Pope. He has sinned. He is a sinner, and he's on his way to hell. He's no different than me or you. And if he don't believe in Jesus, listen, that's where he's going. Everybody has sinned. And it says the wages of sin in verse 23 is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And over in Romans 5:8 it says, but God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were sinning, while you didn't give a rip about God, he put Jesus on the cross to cover your sins. Amen. Every bit of it. Even the sins that I'm going to sin tomorrow. Oh, you mean the pastor's sins? Yeah. Listen, somebody cuts you off on the highway and you're doing 90. Oh, I mean you're doing 65. You get bent out of shape. You got to be careful. You got to watch your thoughts. Look, everybody sins. Romans 6:23 tells us that, Lord, I done got confused. Where am I at? I'll turn over here. It's better than messing it up. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen, that's how we get saved. Eternal life is through Jesus. Oh, but here's my favorite one. This is the best one. It made everything better, and we're going to quit. Romans chapter 10, if you want to go over there, you mark these verses. Romans chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and you have a lot of money on you, you can be saved. That ain't what it says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost because the Bible's told me so. I realize this. I can't get there on my own. I'm bankrupt when it comes to that. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Please save me. Boom, you're saved. That quick. He says here in verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It don't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter whether you're from the northeast, west, or the south. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter creed. None of that. Jesus don't see that. He sees in here. We're the idiots that see all of that. We're the nutcases that make up all the problems with the skin color. Jesus don't. Jesus said, we're all sinners and we're going to hell without him. You know, if you call on the Lord Jesus Christ, he's always near, and he will in no wise turn you out. You see, he don't care whether you got long hair, short hair. He don't care if you look like a tackle box blew up in your face. He doesn't care. What he cares about is that you trust him and you'll be a child of God. You see, when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, I wore Levi's bell bottoms. Had a pair that had leather in them. Man, they were huge. Wore dingo boots. Some of you may know what that is. Rolled up, had a t-shirt, and you'd roll up your Camels in there. You didn't smoke them because you didn't like spitting tobacco out. But they look cool. You know, it that's the kind of life. It had longer hair, get hair all on your face, and that's all I heard. Son, you need to get a haircut. Don't you go out and dance. You know what? It ain't about all of that. It's about the heart. Do you know today? Here's a question for you, and we're going to quit. I'll hush. Do you know for a fact that if I die today, that I'll see you in heaven one day? See, I know where I'm going. I don't have a doubt in my mind. Somebody can come through that door right now, and boom! I'm gone. But guess what? I'll wake up in heaven. Face to face with my Lord and Savior. But will you? That's what you got to ask yourself. That's the most important thing you'll ever do. It's not college degrees. It's not getting married. It's the most important decision you'll ever make is, do I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to heaven? Because if you ain't, listen, we're not promised to. I'm going down the road Saturday. Didn't tell my wife this. Always tell her when the light turns green, don't gas it. Look first. Absolutely. Because there's folk like me that run red lights. I'm going down Boulder, pull up beside this ambulance, and the light changed, and I saw the car on the other side gas it, and I'm like, all of a sudden, here comes a guy, and I went, whoop! I just got my truck back. I don't want you to hit it. But look, it could have ended right there. My son yesterday could have ended right there. You got to know whether you're going to heaven. You don't. I'm going to be up front with you. If you don't know for a fact, you don't want to leave this building. That's right. Do you want to talk to the Lord Jesus first? Amen. And then you got to make your decision, because God don't send you there. Amen. It's your decision. He don't force anybody. Let's stand, Sister Diane, if you'll come up. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking.